Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Well, I've had some fun with my internet all day, but apparently it seems to be up and running, and hopefully we will not have any issues. But this is the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and you know what happens here on Friday, right?
Start spreading the news.
Well, of course, that music means Schomburg Stu is here. Stu, how you doing?
All right, and you know what Frank means when he says start spreading the news, right?
No, what's he mean?
Welcome to the new era of Chicago Bears football.
Well, yeah, there you go. Well, we of course will get into that, but if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up over there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and click that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget we have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, we don't have Stu on Twitter. Still, not yet. We're still working on that. But feel free to reach out to me at BurkeTime, and I can forward any of the anything you have to pass along to Stu along. So, no problem. So, yeah, you were saying, you know, not only did the Bears hire a new coach, but the Denver Broncos also hired a new coach. The Bears went with Matt. Oh, boy, I'm going to just have problems with this over and over. Eberfuss, I think it is, while the
FLUS,
the Broncos,
right? FLUS, Fluss, I don't know.
Yeah, and the Broncos went with Paul Hackett. Now, Eberfuss was the Indianapolis Colts defensive coordinator, while Hackett was the Green Bay Packers offensive coordinator. So that automatically means that everybody assumes that Aaron Rodgers will now be with the Denver Broncos. No.
Well, this scenario has happened before, so that would not surprise me.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, it is possible. I mean, you don't know where anybody's going to end up. And I know Rodgers has come out and publicly supported Hackett and actually called the Broncos to give him a reference. So maybe there's something there. Maybe, you know, who knows? You know how these things go.
If he were to sign with Denver, let's assume that some of these rumors come to fruition, what kind of a deal would it be? Would it be a two-year deal, three-year deal?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, I guess a lot would depend on how long he plans on playing. You know, he's 30, I think 38. So we would, you know, we would have to see, you know, maybe he would be 39 by the time next season started. So, you know, does he want to be Tom Brady? Does he want to play at least 44 or 45, or, you know, would he be content just winning another Super Bowl title and walking away?
Those are good questions. And, yeah, he might want to go for a 3-year deal as long as he doesn't catch, the virus.
Yeah, well, you know, and I think the difficult thing is, you know, you're going to the Broncos, who I don't believe are in as good a position to win, you know, as the Raiders are. Now, you know, and I know they have a solid running core, and they do have some, you know, young wide receivers with some talent, which you would think Rodgers could help pull out of them. But I don't know, honestly, if it's a better situation. And then, of course, the question becomes, even though I know the Packers will probably franchise him, what happens with Davante Adams, who is a free agent and obviously one of the top wide receivers in the NFL?
Yeah, a lot of good questions there. And, yeah, you're right, though, about Denver. I'm not sure, even if they did sign him, would he absolutely take them to the next level, or would they just be maybe a playoff team and win one or two more games during the regular season?
Yeah, you know, and don't forget, he would be moving into, you know, a conference that features the likes of Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, what appears to be the upcoming Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals, and not to mention he would be in a division, if he is on the Broncos, with Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs and Justin Herbert and the Los Angeles Chargers. So it would be a far cry from competing against Justin Fields, Jared Goff, and Kirk Cousins in the position he's in now.
Yeah, he's in the easiest division probably in football right now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. He plays in the weakest division in the NFL. So he would be giving that up with, also along with, you know, almost literally a guaranteed playoff spot. You know, there's no guarantee that adding him to the Broncos puts them in the playoffs.
As well-versed in the rules as you are, let's say that the Packers did indeed make him a franchise player. Would he then be obligated to play for them for next season?
Well, first and foremost in that category, remember in the agreement he signed, it says the Packers cannot franchise him. But when you are franchised, what you do is you play for the NFL average of the top five salaries at your position in the first year of your franchise tag, and now you can actually sit out. But I believe you have to be active for it may be three games to qualify as that being a season. So there would be some options. But, yeah, the Packers can't franchise Aaron Rodgers. Davante Adams is a different story, and I think if they can't come to an agreement, they will do that. And then if a team wants to sign him – as a franchise player, you have to give up two first-round draft picks to do that.
And that's a pretty heavy hit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big hit for any team. You know, I mean, there may be some teams willing to try it, but I don't think so.
Yeah, that would be a very, very risky deal.
So, yeah, we'll have to see how – you know, how that works out. But, yeah, the Bears not only hired a head coach, they did hire a general manager as well while we're on the NFL. They hired Ryan Poles, who was he in the – was it the Chiefs front office that he came out of?
I think you're right about that. And I was surprised – I don't know about you. I was a little surprised when the Bears hired a defense-minded coach, the new coach, which would lead me to suspect they have to go out and get someone offensive-minded, a decent offensive-minded coach to help them out a little bit, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, they need to land either a top-notch offensive coordinator or a top-notch quarterback coach. You know, because you've got, unless they have other plans, they're all in on Justin Fields. So, you know, you're going to have to find somebody to develop him. And Eberflus, or however I'm butchering it. You know, he is a defensive guy, or he's been a defensive guy, but some of these guys can still coach offense. So, we'll see. But, I think they need a really good hire there.
I saw a few names bandied about. Kafka, I thought I saw his name mentioned, and maybe O'Connell. among others. So they would probably be a decent selection, and maybe they could develop Fields a little bit now and actually turn him to a first-rate quarterback in the future.
So, yeah, well, from what I saw, apparently there are currently 8 candidates that the Bears have in line. Now, you mentioned Mike Kafka, who is, again, with the Chiefs. That's where they got Matt Nagy from. They mentioned Mike McDaniel, but he's the 49ers offensive coordinator, and we're looking at another guy that I don't believe calls plays. I believe Kyle Shanahan handles that. They mentioned Kevin O'Connell. He's their offensive coordinator, but Sean McVay calls the plays there. Pep Hamilton is a really interesting choice. He's been around for a long time. He's currently with the Texans as the quarterback coach and passing game coordinator. And he worked with Justin Herbert in San Diego before coming here, and that could be interesting. Joe Brady's name came up. He was Joe Burrow's passing coordinator in 2019, and then he was the Panthers' offensive coordinator. We have Kevin Peluto, I believe it's pronounced. He's the Eagles' passing game coordinator. And then they mentioned Jim Caldwell, who interviewed to be the head coach. I don't know if he would take the offensive coordinator spot. And then there's Ken Dorsey, who's the Bills' quarterback coach as well. So those are the 8 guys who appear to be in contention for this job. I don't know if one sticks out more than the other or how it would work out, but I don't know. Did any of those names jump out to you?
I was thinking of Kafka, but I'm not sure if he's the overwhelming favorite. He might be, but I'm wondering if the Bears are going to make a quick decision regarding the hiring of a new offensive coach or not. Do you think they're going to take their time and wait a little bit now that they've got the head coaching and out of the way, the head coach out of the way, and the general manager out of the way?
Yeah, well, you know, we'll have to see how they handle it. You'd think they might want to strike. You know, there are still 7 head coaching openings. So you might think they want to get a guy before a lot of these guys start popping off the market here. So, you know, if you have a guy in mind, You may want to go get them.
Yeah, maybe I was thinking the same thing, that maybe the most prudent thing to do was to get someone quickly, in a week or so, 2 weeks at the most.
Yeah, well, you know, and I think the frightening things to me is a lot of those names on their list, we're talking about guys who don't call plays. You know, and that's where Matt Nagy came from. You know, he came out of the Chiefs system. Granted, he had the offensive coordinator tag or whatever they tagged him with, but Andy Reid calls the plays there. You know, and you can see how that's held Eric Bieniemy back from getting a head coaching job. I think part of Nagy's failure has affected Bieniemy, because you get these guys that have that offensive coordinator title, like the Rams and the the Rams and the other guy, the other potential candidate, but they don't call plays.
No, that has to be taken into consideration. And I've been thinking about this also. Well, they got the head coach, they got the general manager, and perhaps, as you surmise, quickly will get the offensive coach they're looking for. Is that going to be enough to get them over the top, considering their current ownership situation?
Yeah, well, you know, if they get a coordinator and a quarterback coach that can't develop Justin Fields, they're not going anywhere. You know, because quarterback play is so important, and especially with a young quarterback, you know, that it doesn't matter who owns this team. I mean, you could have the best owner in professional sport, and if you can't develop this guy, You're done.
And you brought up an interesting point, I think, a week or two ago, and I have to ask you this again. If by some fluke the Bears had selected Mahomes over Trubisky, would Mahomes have been as good with the Bears as he is with Kansas City right now?
No, that's an easy answer. None of those guys would be as good with what's went on here in Chicago. I mean, it's clear that Matt Nagy couldn't develop a quarterback. You know, he didn't help Mitchell Trubisky. He obviously didn't do anything for Justin Fields in the short time they were together. So he was not that guy. You know, I don't know who the offensive coordinator or the quarterback's coach were, but they didn't do anything to develop Trubisky. So, you know, it comes down to coaching, and it was a poor choice, and the staff didn't work for whatever reason. And obviously what's going to go into this now is put an offensive line in front of Fields that can protect him, so we can see what he turns into, and that's where Ryan Poles comes in. Will he be better than Ryan Pace?
These are all good questions, and it'll take some time before we know the answers, unfortunately, but I guess it'll be interesting when next season rolls around.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously Pace put, you know, the new GM in a little bit of a hole because he dealt away the first-round pick, which is top 10 to get Justin Fields. So you won't have that pick. So you're going to have to be, unless you trade up for it, but I don't know why you would do that, but we'll see what he's got in mind. I don't know, you know, how it's going to work out or where they kind of sit, but you've got to think they're looking for an offensive lineman with that first pick to, you know, find somebody to help Fields out.
No question about that. And I imagine the final selection, though, for the coach, the new offensive coach, does he have the skill set to help out Fields, if he can actually develop into a decent NFL quarterback?
Yeah, and interestingly, apparently I am in disagreement with the experts because I've got a couple mock drafts here, and the Bears' first pick comes up at 38, and the consensus seems to be that they're taking Trent McDuffie, who is a cornerback.
Well, you can always use a good cornerback.
Yeah. They do have them taking an offensive lineman in the third round, and then they don't pick again until the fifth round, where they have them going. They have them going with another offensive lineman, and then they have a linebacker, and then another linebacker in the fifth, and then a wide receiver in the sixth. So, they only have one, two, three, four, six draft picks. So they don't have a ton of draft picks as it is.
No, it's not going to – none of those things are going to make a drastic change in how well they're going to perform next season. But we'll all be looking forward to it anyway.
Yeah, and they're going to need they're going to need to find some free agents or – do something there to, you got to help Justin Fields out. You know, he's the guy, and I know, it doesn't look like Allen Robinson will be back with this team. I don't know why they would franchise him again, and I don't know why he would re-sign here. So they'll have to find some wide receiver help. I mean, obviously Darnell Mooney showed he can play, but you can't do it with just one. So we'll have to see what they do there. There's still a lot of holes on this team.
There is, and there's no way that Robinson's going to be back for next season.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't think so. I mean, you never know. Maybe he doesn't get any other good offers and he does come back, but we'll see. So.
Yeah, he certainly had a disappointing season this year. They didn't really do much with Robinson.
Yeah, it was surprising how he wasn't really featured. But I guess it just kind of happens.
Yeah, Yeah, it's unfortunate, but I still think he'll be able to go out there and get some kind of a great contract for himself, despite the fact that he didn't have the best season of his career.
Yeah, no, he's got the resume to where he won't have any issues with teams wanting to bring him in, so that won't be a problem. But I did find it kind of funny. I don't know if you saw this quote. Did you see where Jerry Jones came out today and said he never thought of firing Mike McCarthy? Because I think everybody either believes or pretty much knows that's a complete lie.
Yeah, I wonder why he would make a statement like that. But kind of amusing.
So, yeah, I got quite the kick out of that because, you know, as soon as they got eliminated from the playoffs, he was immediately thinking about making a change at head coach. So.
Well, yeah, that's not the first mystifying statement he's made over the years.
Yeah, he's kind of in reality, a clueless boob. So. But, you know, when you own the team and you think you know football, you get to do those kind of things. You know, make yourself the GM.
Sure.
And
He's got the team. He's got the money in the bank. So he care less what people think of what he says.
So, yeah, I just find that – I found that quite humorous when I saw that one. I was like, wait, he what? You know, because you do wonder, they did manage to get Dan Quinn to re-sign. Apparently, he had some opportunities to possibly take a head coaching job, but he passed those up to stay with the Cowboys. So we'll have to see how that worked out. But you do wonder if maybe there was something, you know, between him and Jerry while they were negotiating that said, hey, if we do make a change, you'll be that guy.
I'm sure there was some kind of internal discussion between them before that decision was reached.
So, yeah, I find that pretty interesting. You know, as they say, the coach in waiting type of setup.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, we'll see how that works or how that lasts. But we did have another NFL opening today. I saw this. I want to double-check the first name. I believe it's Kevin. But the Steelers general manager stepped down. I didn't realize he had been on the job for 22 years. Yeah, it is Kevin Colbert. So not only do the Steelers need a new quarterback because Ben Roethlisberger retired, but now they need a general manager as well. But, yeah, it was 22 years on the job. So
it's a long time. And did he give any kind of reason why he stepped down? Was it health issues or just he wanted to retire? Or?
Yeah, let's see if they – now, he is going to stay until the draft to help out. So we'll have to see. Let's see if they have anything. So, yeah, it doesn't look like there's anything on here. You just wonder if maybe 22 years was long enough, and I'm sure, you know, it doesn't say how old he is, but you figure 22 years on the job, he probably is an older gentleman, and you think maybe it's just time for you know, him to move on.
Yeah, it could be a burnout situation, but I will venture to say that I'm older than he is, though.
Yes, you are here. They have him listed as 65 on his tiny Wikipedia page. So,
well,
yeah,
time,
maybe it's...
Yeah. Yeah, that was a rule of thumb for most professions, by the way. 65 was the age at which a person retired. It doesn't always hold that way anymore, but that was a rule of thumb for many, many years.
But, yeah, 22 years as an NFL general manager is I wouldn't be surprised if it's the longest tenure in, you know, general manager history. I don't know if there's a way to find that one out, but, you know, that's long, and the Steelers have been successful.
They have.
So
they have, and that's a burnout type situation. That's got to be a lot of stress on him to have that position for so many years.
So yeah, you've got to think, you know, it's just, you know, just incredible, you know, and obviously, you know, a guy like Jerry Jones makes that list, but he can't fire himself.
No.
So
that'll be difficult to do.
Yeah. So, well, you know, just one of those things.
Well, Pittsburgh, as you pointed out, has been a successful team over the last 20 years. They've been a successful football team in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, and you look, I mean, with, you know, Ben Roethlisberger just retired after 18 years. He never had a losing season as an NFL quarterback. All those years were with the Steelers.
You think that was a factor in his announcing his retirement? The fact that he retired also?
You know, it is possible. You know, as a general manager, you get connected to, you know, those kind of players. And, you know, sometimes, you know, and Mike Tomlin is still there, of course, the head coach. He signed a 3-year extension last year. But, yeah, you know, it's, you know, just one of those things. You look at it and it's kind of, maybe it's just time to start over with a new quarterback and a younger general manager.
Yeah, it makes sense. It does make sense. And he went out on a high note. I mean, you know, the team was had a decent season, and he had a 22 hard-fought years, and that is a wear and tear on you, believe me. So I think he's making a good choice in retiring.
I can almost guarantee that this won't be a flashy hire by the Steelers, and I won't be surprised if it comes from in-house like Colbert did. And they've already interviewed two of their in-house candidates to take his spot. So
yeah, it'll probably come in-house, as you said, and I think that the franchise will still continue to perform at a high level and always be up there in possibility of being a playoff contending team.
Yeah, you know, the big question will be, what do they do at quarterback? You know, they have Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins on the roster, neither of who are exactly, you know, what you would look at as top-notch or big-time NFL quarterbacks. So there is some rumor that maybe they will draft one with the 20th pick. They have the 20th pick in the first round. So we'll see if that works out. Or maybe, you know, there are some guys out there they could possibly bring in, you know, either on the free agent market or through trade.
Yeah, I would think they would maybe consider bringing someone in for maybe 1 or 2 years as a free agent. And still drafting a quarterback in the first round, but if there's someone that could continue to have that team perform at a playoff level, I suppose he could find someone out there that can do the job for them.
So, yeah, there definitely will be some available guys. You know, like, I don't think it'll be Andy Dalton. But, you know, then again, you never know. Maybe they think they can, you know, bring him in and he can manage the game while, you know, they develop a new guy or whatever they decide to do.
It'll be interesting to see what they wind up doing.
So, yeah, though, you know, I mean, there's you know, and it, this has been really kind of an odd NFL offseason already. You know, generally these head coaching positions get filled right away. You know, bam, they start nagging guys as soon as they can, but we still have 7 openings.
Yeah, that's quite a bit, and I would imagine within the next few weeks it's going to be picking up quite a bit with some selections being made.
So yeah, it, you know, we'll have to see how that kind of shakes out. But there was a, you know, I want to switch sports on you here, and I want to talk some baseball. But you know, I want to talk about the Hall of Fame. You know, they had the ballots came out this week, and only one player was elected. In his first year of eligibility, David Ortiz goes in with a 77.9%, but that story was really kind of almost pushed under the rug, and I almost feel bad for Ortiz because in their last year on the ballots, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Curt Schilling did not get in. And there was quite an uproar over this. Now, Bonds got 66% of the vote, and Schilling got 65.2. They're in a little bit of a different category than Schilling. Schilling actually told people not to vote for him, so people may have listened to him. He got 58.6%. Now, I fully support Bonds and Clemens not getting in because I believe they cheated the game. And, you know, it was proven, even though neither of them have ever admitted it and they weren't charged with anything or anything like that. It was just very obvious that they both used performance-enhancing drugs. And while I would have no problem with them going in as long as there was an asterisk next to their name with an explanation, you can also throw Sammy Sosa into this because he falls off the ballot as well. But he only got 18.5% and was never a contender like Bonds or Clemens. Where do you kind of feel on these two guys?
It's a sad thing because both Clemens and Bonds would have been first ballot Hall of Famers if they didn't use the PEDs. They had the talent. They would have got in anyway. But now because of the stigmata attached to them, will they ever get in?
Yeah, well, their fate goes to the Veterans Committee. Now, it's named something else now. I don't know, you know, what it's called, but it's generally former players, I believe, and you do wonder how they'll deal with that. You know, because like I said, it's clear they cheated.
Well, I always say we're a forgiving nation, but something like this, I'm not sure. The players might have a lot of resentment towards those two, and they might have a tough time getting in that way as well.
So, yeah, you know, it will be interesting to see how that's handled. Again, you know, like I would have no problem with them going in. There was an asterisk on their plate, you know, on their placard, just like Pete Rose. I think Pete Rose belongs in the Hall of Fame with an explanation.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, his was not an issue with PEDs, but more with his gambling and everything else associated with it.
Yeah, Rose didn't cheat the game of baseball like these two guys did. He didn't do anything to make his performance better.
I do have one question to ask you. Ortiz getting in I think it was 77.5%. Didn't he have an issue with PEDs for one season also at one time?
He was named in a report years ago, but there were, you know, he never tested positive. While, you know, the players were tested randomly and all that other kind of stuff, he never had a positive test. And a lot of people think that there wasn't a lot of credibility to the report. So, and you also got to remember, this is voted on by the media, and in the last, I don't know, few years, has there been a better guy with the baseball media than David Ortiz?
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, and he got 77.9% of the vote, so almost 78, and you need 75 to get in. Alex Rodriguez, who is another obviously PED user, it was his first year on the ballot as well. He got 34.3%. The only other first-year guy who will actually stay on the ballot is Jimmy Rollins, but he only got 9.4%, so who knows how much longer he'll stick around.
Yeah, it's true. Clemens and Bonds, have they ever tested positive?
No, they didn't give
years.
Yeah, they weren't doing tests back then. So neither of them ever had to undergo a test. But remember, Bonds did admit to using what they called the cream, and his personal trainer spent a very long time in jail rather than testify against Barry Bonds.
And I guess Sosa was never tested either, correct?
Sosa was never either. And now don't forget, Clemens' DNA did turn up on a syringe that I don't remember if it was his trainer. Actually, I think it was a supplier. And he tried to blame it on his wife. So there's both enough evidence, you know, and then we have the fact that Barry Bonds' head size grew, you know, enormously over the time he was, you know, he was being accused of taking the. So it's very clear they were both users. Neither one of them was great with the media, so there's a lot that goes into that. I do wonder if they would have came out and admitted it, if it would have helped their candidacy, because my guess is there are probably players in the Hall of Fame that have used,
I'm sure.
We just don't know about them.
Yeah. If you take a look at the size of Bonds' head earlier in his career and at the end of his career, what a difference. What an incredible difference. The same thing with Sosa as well.
But, yeah, but, you know, I don't know about Sosa, but I know Bonds' head size has came down since he's retired.
Oh, sure, now, yeah.
So that's interesting to know.
Yeah, towards
but
the
yeah,
end of
I was
Sosa's career, I was going to say towards the end of Sosa's career, his head was, I mean, almost like misshapen. It was so much bigger than it was earlier on during his career in its prime with the Cubs before the home run binge.
Oh, they sold it, don't you?
Yeah, right.
So, you know, it's just very, very, very odd that, you know, the way that goes. And, you know, I mean, not quite as odd as, you know, Sosa not remembering how to speak English when he was called in front of the Congress.
Yeah, to this day he claimed that he got strong because of Flintstones.
Yeah. So
it's one of his classic lines.
But hey, you know, I mean, whatever. I do find it odd that he doesn't quite get the notoriety that Bonds and Clemens do, even though he did something that none of them did. You know, he hit 60 home runs in three consecutive seasons, 60 or more, and nobody's done that.
It's unfortunate, though, that there's that animosity between the Cubs, current Cubs ownership and Sosa, because I'm sure the fans would love to have him come back to one of the conventions, and I think he'd be widely cheered, but until he admits to what he did, it's never going to happen.
Yeah, you do wish they could work that out. I don't know what the all the issue is or however, but they definitely need to work that one out. So, but yeah, now I do wonder, do you think Alex Rodriguez ever gets in?
Borderline, I think. I think maybe eventually he will sneak in and squeeze in to the Hall of Fame.
So, yeah, because, you know, obviously if he gets in, that would mean, you know, we're looking at Bonds and Clemens being put in.
Yeah, and I think that down the line, I'm afraid to say it, I think those guys are going to kind of sneak in too eventually. Down the road.
Yeah, I think, you know, the longer it goes, you know, that's going to be, you know, they're going to get let in.
Yeah, but it won't be overnight. It won't be a 1 year, 2 years, even 5 years. I think it's going to take a while. But I think that somewhere down the line, in a decade or so, I think they're going to finally going to get them into the Hall of Fame.
So yeah, I just gonna be interesting to see. You know, then you know, my guess is Schilling goes in once the committee sits down and, you know, looks at his resume. I just not quite sure they want him giving a speech.
Yeah, I have my doubts about Schilling getting in, despite his statistics, because of the poor excuse of a human being that he is, and I think that's going to be a factor against him down the line.
Yeah, I still think he gets in. There's going to be enough people voting for him to put him in, even though he's made some ridiculous statements. So but I was kind of interested. You know, Scott Rolen jumped up this year. He's at 63.2%. And a lot of people think he's going to get in. You know, I know that he was a great defender, and I want to check here. He won 8 gold gloves, but we're looking at a guy who just over 2,000 hits. He's just over 300 homers, 281 lifetime average. He did win Rookie of the Year, and he is a World Series winner. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I think he was a very good player, but that doesn't get you in the Hall of Fame.
At best, you think, 65 to 70% of the votes at the max, maybe?
Boy, you know, it's looking more and more like he's going to get in. But yet, you know, you look at a guy like Gary Sheffield, who's got one more year on the ballot. Next year is it. He finished at 40.6%. He's got more hits, more home runs, and a better batting average than Rolen. Now, obviously, Sheffield wasn't the defensive player that Rolen was. But, you know, he did win a batting title. He was a Major League Player of the Year one year. He didn't win the MVP, but he was voted Major League Player of the Year. You know, he's got a World Series title to his credit. You know, you just kind of wonder, you know, I mean, we're talking about a guy with almost 2,700 hits and over 500 home runs. And you're voting for...
I wondered why his percentage was so low.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, well, you know, I know he wasn't a big fan of the media, and I just think it's hurt him.
It must, because I think I could see him getting in on his statistics, but for some reason his numbers aren't there.
Yeah, you know, he's been the guy that I've always backed for this, wondering why he's so low. But,
yeah,
apparently.
I can never understand why his numbers were so low.
Yeah, apparently he's not gonna get in. He's gonna go away next year, and you know that's it. So
what about when he gets eligible for the players' committee voting? Will he get in then?
I don't know. We'll have to see. I do wonder if maybe the fact that next year's class isn't really good. The guys they're adding to the ballot, I don't think any of these guys are Hall of Famers. I'm going to run these names down for you, and there's a ton of them. So I'll hit them real quick, and then you can tell me when I'm done if anybody sticks out. We have Carlos Beltran, John Lackey, Jared Weaver, Jacoby Ellsbury, Matt Cain, Johnny Peralta, Jason Worth, J.J. Hardy, Mike Napoli, Aaron Hill, Bronson Arroyo, R.A. Dickey, Eric Ibar, Carlos Ruiz, Ubaldo Jimenez, Francisco Rodriguez, or K-Rod as he was known as, Andre Ethier, Stephen Drew, Joaquin Benoit, Houston Street, Joe Blanton, Adam Lynn, Jonathan Broxton, Glenn Perkins, Chad Quarles, and Jason Grilly are all the guys who qualify for the ballot. Now, none of those guys, in my opinion, are Hall of Famer.
I have to agree. There's some good ball players in that group, but I don't think any of them are really Hall of Fame material.
Yeah, humorously, I got into a big Facebook argument with a bunch of people over this. They said if there was one guy on that list that you had to vote for, who would it be? Now, obviously, Carlos Beltran was the popular pick. So to be different, I went with John Lackey. And I had people just destroying me for picking Lackey. And I was just like, did you guys forget that he's a three-time World Series winner? He won an ERA title back in 2007. And you're also forgetting about this was a guy who has as a rookie started Game 7 of the World Series for the Angels, and I believe he won it.
Hey,
so, you know, while I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, I mean, he's 188 and 147 lifetime, and his career ERA is 3.92. I just thought out of that list, he would be the guy I would pick.
Yeah, not a bad choice. But they really castigated you for it, and it was a logical choice.
Oh,
it was a good choice with that group
Beltran or Lockie, and I just wanted to be different.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you could make a
choice. Yeah, you could see where Beltran would be the popular choice, though.
Yeah. But, you know, don't forget about Rodriguez. I mean, we're talking about a pitcher who had, you know, 437 career saves.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, with Billy Wagner not getting in this year, I do wonder how Rodriguez does. I mean, Rodriguez has 15 more saves, but, you know, Wagner has the better ERA and I believe more strikeouts. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it plays out over the next succeeding years. It'll be interesting to see if any of these people do ultimately get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't see any of these guys getting in. You know, even Carlos Beltran, I don't care how long he sticks around on the ballot, I just don't see him making it.
Probably not. He's on the fringe level. I could see him getting 65% to 70% though of the vote.
You know, but you know, I mean, I guess, you know, maybe looking at his numbers, he's very akin to Gary Shetfield. Now, you know, he was Rookie of the Year. He's won 3 Gold Gloves. He does have a World Series to his credit. You know, he's got a little over 2,700 hits and does have 435 home runs. He was an all-around player as well. Don't forget, he does have 300-plus stolen bases, but he's a career 279 hitter.
Yeah, he was solid.
So that's kind of, to me, that's kind of akin to where Shetfield is. So Beltran gets more votes than Shetfield, that would be really strange to me.
I still can't figure out why Shetfield's percentage has been so low over the years.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I could figure it out as well, but yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, we're talking about a 500 home run guy and almost a guy with 1,700 runs driven in. And
but his
percentage can't get in.
His percentage seems so low based upon his stats.
And to be fair, Mark Burley did get 5.8% of the vote, so he gets to stay on the ballot. So,
yeah, well, don't look for him getting in anytime soon.
No, well, you know, the humorous thing about Burley is I almost think he could have gotten in had he just hung around and maybe latched on with a really good team for a few more years. Because he had 214 wins. If he could have found his way to 300 or close, you know, with the fact that he does have multiple no-hitters, he won a World Series, and he has four gold gloves, you know, if he could have gotten the 275 wins or maybe a little higher, you could have made a case for him.
Yeah,
but
very
he
good
did
case.
The right thing to walk away.
Yeah, I'm afraid to say it, but I think the day of the 300 win pitchers are gone.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's so over. You know that's not, you know, especially with the way they use starting pitchers now, they don't get enough wins for wins to even matter anymore.
It's a different game now.
So yeah,
has there been any
movement, by the way?
Has there been any movement between the two sides in terms of settling the current lockout that you've seen?
Yeah, they actually had what was described as a productive meeting this week, and apparently they're going to meet again. So they're at least getting together, and they have other meetings scheduled. So we'll see how that works out.
Well, don't forget that Tuesday is February 1st, and at this time, some players will be already reporting to spring training. What, the pitchers, catchers?
Yeah, we're right there. So, and while we were talking about this earlier, there is some breaking news. There's one less NFL coaching position available. The New York Giants have hired Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll to be their next head coach. So, there you go.
There you go. Well, there's one less. There's still six to go.
Six to go, yeah. So, but, you know, locally we have a couple sporting events tonight. We have the Bulls and the Blackhawks in action. And while I'm not going to officially make you make picks, the Bulls are actually they're a 1.5-point favorite in this game. Do you got them covering that tonight in San Antonio?
I'm going to take a deep breath and say yes. They're such an enigmatic team, though. They're so inconsistent, and they're not deep enough to really overcome all these injuries, these serious injuries they've had. But I think the Bulls are going to win tonight, and they're going to beat the spread.
So, and then the over-under is 232.5. What side of that are you on?
That's a toughie.
That's a lot.
I would say under, slightly under.
Yeah, that's what, 116 apiece. Yeah, that's quite a bit. So, I'm not sure if they're going to get there. Now, of course, you know, I did mention the Blackhawks are also in action. Colorado, of course, is the favorite in this game, but the over-under on goals is 6.5. Now, Colorado is going to be without their best player, Nathan MacKinnon. He's got a concussion. You think we get 6.5 goals in this game?
I would say no. I would say no.
So, and I don't know. I don't think they've announced if Marc-Andre Fleury will be in goal or if it's going to be – I don't know. Who'd the Bulls call up to replace Kevin Lanke, or the Bulls, the Blackhawks? Was it Delia who came up, or was it that Soderberg?
No.
Do you know, or do you remember?
I don't remember who they brought up from their Rockford affiliate, huh?
Yeah, whoever they, you know, wherever they're getting guys from. But, yeah, they've got to have a backup. I'm not sure who's making the start tonight is what I was hoping to find out, because if it's not Fleury, we may get 6.5 plus goals.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot completely about the game with Detroit that was on, ESPN a couple of days ago. I was watching the Bulls game. I forgot about the Blackhawk game, and that turned out to be their wildest Blackhawk game they've had in a couple of years, I would think. 8-5 victory.
Yeah, it was good. Ilya who came up from Rockford. So he's their second goalie right now. Yeah. Did they win that game? I don't even remember if I looked.
Yeah, they won that game. They had a 4-0 lead after the first period, but you know that's not enough against with the Blackhawks there. And it quickly went to 4-3.
That weird, right?
Yeah, it was a very, very strange game.
So, yeah. Well, Fleury has played the last two games in goal, and he's also played 11 of the last 12. So you wonder if he's going to get a night off tonight, but I don't know how that would work against a really good Colorado team, even without their best player.
I think they'll probably keep him in the lineup. Although, by the way, the trade rumors are still swirling around him as well.
Yeah.
He hasn't gone away.
Yeah, you know, Colorado actually is tied for the second most points in the NHL with 65. They have a fantastic record at 38-3. That's 30 wins, 8 losses, and 3 ties, or overtime, as they put it now.
Yes. When the Blackhawks played them recently, surprisingly, they played a respectable game against them. They were shut out, but they only lost 2-0. But I don't think
well,
it's
Colorado was
tonight.
In the NHL at 8. You think that streak continues tonight? They get a W?
I think so, yes. I definitely think that will be a victory, Colorado, tonight.
But, yeah, hey, at least we'll have something to watch because I know you're going to forget about AEW Rampage like you always do.
I always forget about that show. I don't understand it, but I will probably
glance at
SmackDown for a minute or two.
You've got some kind of mental block when it comes to Rampage that you just
don't
watch it. John Moxley is wrestling tonight.
Oh, he's back in action after his 2-month being off.
Yeah, after his rehab, he has returned. God, he looked really, I don't want to say small. I think I want to say lean would be the way to describe it.
Yeah.
When I saw him, he definitely lost the weight.
He did. And I can't say he wrestles in a scientific manner, no matter who he wrestles. But I guess the fans are over for him, so that's all that counts.
Yeah, that's all you need. And I mean, he can. I've seen him do it. But it's just what he seems to get over with. And now, have you seen or did you check out any of the ladder match on Wednesday with Cody Rhodes and Sammy Guevara?
Yeah, I was surprised. I watched that match. I think I watched it the whole match, and I was surprised about the outcome.
Yeah, I was too. I think a lot of people were. I think everybody kind of expected Cody to win. But they did the right thing and gave it to Guevara. You know, I mean, he's one of the guys. So
I
think that was a good choice. Hopefully they give him a little bit of a run.
He's an entertaining wrestler. He needs to put on 20 pounds or so, though.
Yeah. They have some young stars they can really build around if they can keep them together. Well, you know, we'll just have to see what they do and how they use them. So.
Yeah, they
you ready? Yeah, you ready to go start our weekend?
Ready.
Don't forget we have the Twitter feed with you at Sports Farm Radio. But feel free to reach out to me at Twitter. My Twitter is well, I'm at BOCCFME if you want to find me there. So if you look at the top one, you get some feeling on live. I'll keep you doing that. We greatly appreciate that. That's fine. All you got to do is head over to SportsFarm.com and you can listen anytime you want. All right, take care, everybody.